our topic today is maintaining your sitting position in Christ. Let's say it. Maintaining your sitting position in Christ. So the word maintaining means that you're already seated, isn't it? So you're seated and now you're asked to make sure you just keep sitting, jeje. Don't let anything take you off that, your sitting position. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 to 6. Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. The Bible said, but God who is rich in mercy. Everybody say, rich in mercy. Again, rich in mercy. But God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Amplified say, because of his great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Then verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. Let's read verse 6 together. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you can see everything is together, together. Together with who? Together with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So he raised us up together with Christ and he made us sit together with him in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. So if we are seated together with Jesus Christ, we need to know Christ's sitting position. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, 20 to 23. Ephesians 1, 20 to 23. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Which he walks in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, we're reading together, and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen? Let's look at that Ephesians 1, 20-23. If you look at that, you can see that God seated Jesus in the highest position in the entire universe. Look at it again. We have it. Can we have it? Okay. God seated Jesus in the highest position in the entire universe. If you begin to read from verse 20, he said, he sat him at his right hand in the heavenly places. At whose right hand? The Father's right hand in the heavenly places. That sitting at the Father's right hand is the highest position in the entire universe. It is a position of honor, is a position of love, is a position of favor, is a position of abundance. Amen? So, and he did not just sit him in the highest position, but he made him sit far above what? Far above what? Far above what? I want you to open up your mouth to say, above all principalities, above all powers, above all might, above all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also where? In that which is to come. Which means, if in this age, you don't know the name yet, even in the age to come, the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, is seated far above whatever you can name, even in the age to come. And the Bible also said that he put, the Father put all things under whose feet? He put all things. Can you think of anything that has a name? Anything you can think of that has a name. Whether sickness, whether poverty, whatever it is, the name of the Lord Jesus is above it all, and he's seated far above all of them. Not just above, but far, 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 far above all of them. Amen? I want you to get the picture. Get the picture. And he said, you know, over under his feet, you know, verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the, who are the church? We are the church, which is his body. We are his body, the full in all in all. So which means Jesus is seated far above all things, and we are his body. Get the picture? Jesus is seated far above all things, and we are his body, and everything is under his feet. So, that's his position, his sitting position. That's where the Father put him. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, 9-11. Philippians 2, 9-11. The Bible said, God also highly exalted Jesus. Verse 9, let's read together. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So you see, God highly exalted the name of Jesus. Bible said, God gave a name which is above every name. Above. Looks to me like this is cutting. God gave him a name which is above every name. Any name you can think of, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is above it. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is above every other name, and Jesus Christ is seated far above every other name. Hallelujah. The Bible said, if you look at that scripture that we read now in Philippians chapter 2, he said in a, look at verse 10. He said, verse 11. He said, and that every tongue should confess. Should. I looked up the word should. He said, indicating a desirable state. This is what it should be. This is the way the Father wants it to be. But somebody has to act somewhere. We are going to get to that. But this is the position of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, what is our own sitting position? Remember what we read in Ephesians 2 verse 6? We're going to come back to that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says we are seated together. He raised us up together and made us sit together. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse 1. From verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I want you to look at these scriptures critically. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? We are in Christ. So he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, whatever blessing you can think of, blessing of good health, blessing of provision, blessing of protection, blessing of success, blessing of whatever you can think of. He has blessed us with not some spiritual blessing, but every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, but only in Christ. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Sometimes some people look at that and say, oh, which means that these ones are chosen. Well, we are not chosen. I'm not one of those that are chosen. No. What it means is that the Father has decided that anybody that will come to Christ, that will come to him through Jesus, is going to choose that person. Which means, say, I choose to put my faith in Jesus. Okay, come. I want you. And not, I choose to put my faith in Jesus. Ah, no. I don't want you. No. Then this person, I choose to put my, okay, oh yeah, I want you. I choose you. No. If you ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been chosen. That's what God determined from the foundation of the world. That anybody that will ever say yes to Jesus, I will take that person in. And what did he say he's going to do? Verse 5. He said, if he chose you, then it means, he said, verse 4, he said, that you should be holy. He sees you as holy. He sees you without blame before him. Not before you. Not before others. But before him. He sees you without blame. Why? Because you are in where? In Christ. Because when he looks, he's looking at Jesus, and you are in Christ. And Christ has been exalted to a position of honor, acceptance, love, whatever you think of. So, because he's seated at the right hand of the Father, the beloved of the Father, the accepted of the Father, the honored of the Father, and you are in him, the same goes for you. Amen? So that's why he said, before him in love. Verse 5. He said, having predestined us to adoption as sons. By who? By Jesus Christ. Which means you told Jesus, oh, you are now my son. I love you just as much as I love my son. You understand? He said, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. And this is just simply according to the good pleasure of his will. It just pleased him to make it so. It's not because of anything you have done, but it's just the pleasure of the Father. Hallelujah. He just desired it and he wanted it to be so. So if you will ever say yes to Jesus, you are my beloved son. I adopt you. Hey, this is now my son. This is now my daughter. Hallelujah. That's just his own good pleasure. Hallelujah. And he said, verse 7, in him we have redemption. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us what? Accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted. Because we are in Christ, so you are accepted. You are the beloved of the Father. You are the apple of his eye. You are the darling of his heart. You are his everything. You are his yummy, yummy. Whatever you can think of, that's who you are. One, simply because you are in Christ. Amen? Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So in Christ Jesus, you have forgiveness of sins. Whatever you can think of may have been in your life, you have been forgiven. All of it put together, washed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, which he meant to do what? To do what? To abound. To abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Healing is abundance for anyone that has been adopted. Provision, abundance to everyone that has been adopted. Protection, abundance to everyone that has been adopted. Whoever you are, everything is in nyafo, nyafo. Amen? That is abundance. Hallelujah. And then he said, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Having made to us the mystery of his will. What is that mystery of his will? We'll talk about it more, but it's just simply telling us the mystery of his will is that you might look at yourself and say, me care, but I don't feel it. It is the Jesus that is in you. It is the Jesus that you are in. Hallelujah. So, that it is by him that all these things begin to happen for you. And then he said in verse 13 and 14, verse 11 said, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. So, all these things we are talking about, they are all inheritance, but they are all in Christ Jesus. And then verse 13 said, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ in you is the guarantee or is the assurance of the Father. Everything that belongs to Jesus is your portion. Not because of your performance, but simply because you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, remember Romans 8 verse 9b says, If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to Him. So by the presence of the Holy Spirit of promise in you, the Bible said, because you have accepted Jesus, you are raised together and you are seated together with Him in the heavenly places. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. In the heavenly places. And that your sitting position is seated with who? With Jesus Christ. So every child of God is seated. Everyone that has ever said yes to Jesus is seated together with Jesus Christ in that place of honor. Hallelujah. It's a place of... can I have two people? Can you come? Okay, let me use my husband. Ogo, come. Ogo, come. You see? So what we're saying is that... So if, for instance... Onyi, come. If for instance, this is our Father God. And because I think I would have preferred Kenny and Osinde, but that's okay. Come on, you come. And because the Father God came, and because He loved us so much, He came and paid the full penalty for our sins, and then He paid the full penalty. He came here in the person of Jesus Christ. And then this one now puts his faith in this one. And the Father says, yes, you are now my adopted son. So if the Father is sitting, which one is our right hand? Okay, so sorry, my dear. Okay, do you mind stepping down and just sitting on this? You can make this soft enough and sit. Okay, thank you so much. So which one is your right hand? This place of this right hand is the place of what? Acceptance, the place of honor, the place of all the blessings you can think of, and this is where He puts His son. And because He's in Christ, He's also seated at the right hand of the Father in this place of honor, in this place of favor. You are greatly blessed, you're highly favored, you're deeply loved by the Father. The love that He has for Him is transferred over to Him. Simply because He put His faith in Him, not because of His works of righteousness, but simply because He said yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Father adopted Him, so He too is also the son of the Father, and I'm also the daughter of the Father. As many as who put their faith in Him automatically becomes the children of God. And everything that the Father has for Him is all for all of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, my beloved. Hallelujah. So this is what... Yes, it is the righteous right hand of God. And that's why it's the highest position in the entire universe. And that's where God placed Jesus. And that's where He made us sit together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, that's why in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, for those of you who were here on Thursday, He was telling us that He said that the time of acceptance has come, or the time of favor, because by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to this position of favor, to this position of honor. Hallelujah. So this, our sitting position, is a position of great honor, of great favor. And it is the climax of the redemption plan in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will sit in the same position with Jesus and enjoy all His rights and His privileges. Just simply because of what He did and not what because of what we did. Just because of who? Because of Jesus. Just because of who? Just because of who? Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, the sitting position is already an accomplished deal. It is not something that is going to happen. It is not something you have to struggle to make it happen. It is not something you have to cry to make it happen. It just simply pleases the Father that because you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you sit there with Him. And everything that He has belongs to you. Hallelujah. And that's why the devil does not have authority over any child of God. Because you know the power that is in you. That's why the Bible says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says you are of God and you have overcome them, because the greater one lives in you than he that is in the world. The only authority the devil has over any child of God is the one you give to him, once you relinquish to him. And that's part of what we're discussing today. When you begin to allow anger, resentment, bitterness, and all this bickery being in the flesh, you just simply open the door for him, and he will come, and then he will eat your lunch, eat your supper, and really mess up your life. Yet, Jesus is in you. Yet, he's in you in all his power and in all his might. But you allow your life to be messed up. He doesn't have any right, when you begin to live a life of in the flesh, a life of disobedience, or maybe you don't even know who you are in Christ. That is ignorance. Like the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He will be knocking you on the head all the time. And people will be stupid. They say this is a Christian. He simply is a Christian that is ignorant of who he or she is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe he knows that he's not exercising his rights and privileges as a child of God. Jesus Christ already defeated the devil for us. He has disarmed him. He has given us power and authority over him. He has exalted us to this place of position, to this elevated position. We are enthroned with the Lord Jesus Christ in this position of high power, and we have dominion over the devil. But you need to know it. But the dominion that we have over him is really a delegated authority. That's what we have over him. Because Jesus is in us. So we have that kind of, policeman's delegated authority. You know, the policeman, once you're chosen, you can imagine a policeman that stands by the traffic and the vehicle is coming and he says, what can you say about that policeman? He doesn't know who he is. But if the policeman understands that the government is backing him up, no matter how heavy the traffic that is coming, say, once he does that is, what do you think happens? You stop. You just simply stop. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. And the devil understands it. But does the believer understand it? You need to understand the power that you have is a delegated authority. So that when you say in the name of Jesus, the name that has been exalted far above what? All other names. He will respond when he knows that you know. But you have to know that you know. You have to know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible said we should put on what? The whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What do you mean by wiles? It's deceit. He just simply manipulates you, gets you, make you think that you are not who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was looking at the word wiles. It says, deviants or cunning stratagems employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants. He gets manipulates you to do what he wants you to do. And then he turns around and taunts you with that. I looked at the word stratagem. It says, a plan or scheme, especially one used to outwit an opponent or achieve an end. And the word outwit means deceive or defeat by greater ingenuity. So we must understand that the only power the devil has against you is deceit, manipulation. The real power belongs to who? To God. Power belongs to God. And we got that power through Jesus Christ as a delegated authority. So God is the one that is enforcing that power. He's the power behind us. Why? Because the Bible says, Colossians chapter 2. But before we go to Colossians chapter 2, I want to mention this there. The reason this is so important that you understand the power you have in Christ is because He's your power. You are not the source of power. He's holding it for you, but he has given you delegated authority. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, that he has determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that should be the same for every child of God. That in every situation, purpose in your heart that you know nothing except the fact that Jesus already paid it all for you. And you stand in his strength and you Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 to 6 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but how? They are mighty in God for putting down strongholds." Then verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." See, our obedience is fulfilled in Christ. Christ is the end of righteousness, the end of the law for everyone. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that has believed. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 4. So the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God considers you as righteous, and everything that Jesus has belongs to you. So you have to cast down anything, any high thought, anything that is making you feel that you are not who God said you are, or you are not what God said you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you don't have what God said you have. If the Bible said you've been healed, don't allow anything that will make you think that it's not true. If the Bible said that you're fruitful, don't allow anything that will try to puncture that thought in you, because that's what the word said about you. If the Bible said that you are above only and not beneath, don't allow anything that will make you think that you will not make it in life, because the power to make it is already where? In you, because you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So when you're feeling low or you're feeling bad, think of what you're thinking about. What you're thinking about must not line up with the scripture. Because when you think in line with what the word said about you, you will be happy. And a merry heart does good like medicine, and a broken spirit dries the bones. So don't let the devil engage you in what will make your bones to be dried up. He will get you so busy that you begin to chase the shadows instead of focusing on the real deal, the substance, which is there, Jesus Christ. Making effort to know him more and more, because he is the one that is your life, and he is the one that is in you, and you are in him. The moment you begin to focus more on the Lord Jesus Christ, as you begin to continue to behold him and behold him, you begin to become more and more like him in the things that happen around you. Amen? The Bible said that Jesus Christ is everything that we have in Christ is guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have the time up here. Everything we have in life is guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him, Jesus Christ. For this reason, all we need is to just simply say, I am in agreement," which means amen. So be it. So Hebrews chapter 7, 22 to 26. Hebrews 7, 22 to 26. Hebrews chapter 7, 22 to 26. Verse 22 says, "Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God." The covenant that we have with God, that the moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that Jesus has belongs to you. Jesus is the one that guarantees it, and you are in him. And if you look at verse 25, if you look at it in Amplified, the Bible says in Amplified for verse 25, "Therefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through," who? "Through him." So he's able to save to the uttermost, how? Completely, how? Perfectly, how? Finally, and for all time and eternity. Anyone that will ever say yes to him. He is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for us, because he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you are in him. And God said he will never break his covenant, according to Psalm 89, verse 34. He said, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips." So if God says that if you ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his blessings are your blessings, that is what it is. Amen? Jesus Christ is our hope of glory. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, 19 to 29. Colossians chapter 1, 19 to 29. Okay. The Bible said, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in whom? In Christ. Amen? God was pleased to live in Christ. Okay, I will need help here. You can come. So you say God was pleased to do what? To live in Christ. Who will ever believe that this young guy here was in this? If anybody has said one of your sons is Onyinyechukwu Emmanuel before he ever came, I'm just using that as a scenario just to help us to have a better picture. So it pleased God to dwell in Christ, which means that his gene is here. I only provided the stomach. So, his gene is in here, is here. So, and it pleased God that everything that made God God is in him. And this is Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And this is Christ. And where is Christ? In him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything that made God God is here, and he is here. So that means that this person here is not an ordinary person. Because all that made God God and Jesus, that's who you are, a child of God. Amen? Thank you so much. That's who you are. He said, and through him, verse 20, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Verse 21, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. So, he's telling us here what God did in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood that he shed, that it was through Jesus Christ that we are reconciled back unto God. Not that we qualify, but through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed, we've been reconciled back to God. And then look at verse 22. He said, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and what again? Blameless, as you stand before him without a single fault. Now, tell me now, if you're a born again child of God, is it possible that you don't have any fault in you right now? So that is why it is in his own sight. Not in your sight. In his own sight. Not in your own sight. And that's why verse 23:1. Let's look at verse 23 and let's read it together. Verse 23, ready, go. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you receive when you have the good news. This good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So, you must continue. Do you know why you must? He said you must continue. It's because sometimes you might not perform well, and the devil will come and tell you, you call yourself a Christian. Look at you. Look at Jesus. When he says, look at you, you tell him what? Look at Jesus. Because as he is, so am I in this world. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. That's what Paul said, and that should be our own response too. Amen? So we must continue to believe this truth, especially when you miss it. And that's why the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, you should come boldly to receive what? Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The time of need is especially when you miss it and the devil is bombarding you. Come around to him. Come and receive, you know, Father, I thank you for the forgiveness. I'm sorry I did this, and I received that forgiveness and mercy. It's still there for you. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf, telling Daddy, he is one of us. Daddy, this is my younger sister. Daddy, this is my younger brother. Amen? Then verse 24. He said, Paul said here, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the suffering of Christ that continues for his church. Paul is doing all he could to pass on this information for you to know that the Father approves of you simply because you have said yes to Jesus. That everything that belongs to Jesus is your own. Look at verse 26. He said, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. You know, some people will say that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but it's to the believer. It has been made known to us. And look at verse 27. Let's read verse 27 together. For God wanted them to know that the riches of the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret: Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Amen? This is the secret. It is not in your power or in your mind. It is the Christ that is in you. The Christ that in you guarantees that everything that the Father has is yours. The Christ in you guarantees that everything that belongs to Jesus is your portion. Or you share in his glory. You share in everything that he has. Hallelujah. Simply because you have said yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said you have the mind of Christ. So you can think like him. And that's why he said in Romans 12 verse 2, come, let me change the way you think. I want you to think the way you should really think. The way your real self is. Your life in Christ. Your life in the Spirit. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16 said, we know no man after the flesh. Which means, always be yourself after the Spirit, not after your flesh. See yourself the way you are in the Spirit. You are as Christ is. Hallelujah. Verse 28. Paul said here, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. We want to present them to God. My desire is that every one of us as a church should be presented to God, perfect in our relationship to Christ, that he is our senior brother and everything he has is our portion. Amen? Because Jesus is our life. That's what the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, Christ is now our life. Amen. So we must have to continue to believe. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. I just want to see. This is it. This is your life. That's what the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. This is you. You are in Christ. And Christ is where? In God. Your life, this your life, is hid with Christ in God. That's who you are. But you must have a revelation of that. You must know this, not mentally. But you must know that knowing here. Amen? When you begin to have that understanding and the depth of love that the Father has for you, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. I will read 18 in NLT and then 19 in Amplified. We'll read 19 together. Verse 18 says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for you. That love that made him to put you in that exalted position. Because it's mind-boggling. May you have the power to understand it. That was the prayer that Paul was praying for the church. The spirit of wisdom, revelation, and understanding. And that's really what we need. And a revelation of who we are and our sitting position in Christ. Verse 19 in Amplified. He said, and that you may come to know practically through personal what? Experience, not just head knowledge, but experientially in your day-to-day life, in your activities, in your pursuit in life. You want to experientially get to know and experience sitting position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Experience the love of Christ, which what far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. If it's just knowledge, you may not understand it. But until you experience it, that's when you know that, wow. You will just say, wow. That you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your life. Do you have the richest experience of God's presence in your life? This is the desire of the Father, that you may have the richest experience of God's presence. The reality of the fact that the Father is in you, that Jesus is in you, that the Holy Spirit of God is in you. I said, completely filled and flooded with God Himself. This is the desire of the Father for every born again child of God. So, by Jesus Christ, we have been adopted as children of God. We are now sons and daughters of God. According to Romans chapter 8, 9, 15, and 17. And because we have the Spirit of Christ in us, crying, Abba, Father, all the inheritance that belongs to Jesus Christ is now ours. And Galatians chapter 3, 13 says, Christ purchased our freedom, redeemed us from the curse, doom of the law, and its condemnation, by Himself becoming a curse for us, for it is written in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or is crucified. Christ purchased our freedom, redeemed us from any cause. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, down from verse 15, you begin to read all the causes. Already Jesus Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from any of those causes. And if you should notice any of those causes, stand and resist him vehemently. You're fighting with God, because the Bible said, for this cause was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of darkness. Sickness is a work of darkness. Poverty is a work of darkness. Failure is a work of darkness. But you have to stand your ground and say, no, no, no. This is not my portion. I'm a child of God. All that belongs to Jesus is mine. You understand what I'm saying? Because Jesus purchased your freedom. I don't forget when we needed provision when we were back there in Nigeria. We really had a lot of challenges. When my husband got a revelation of this Galatians chapter 13, Galatians 3:13. He would tell me, whatever you want, write it down. I said, okay, Lord, just give me whatever you have. I will manage. He said, no. Tell me everything you want. I said, I understand. Just give me whatever you have. He said, okay, Lord, I'm telling you, just tell me what you want. And I will write carton of cornflakes, carton of golden mung, one box of pig meal, and a lot of things. My husband will go and paste it on the wall, and he said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Poverty is not our lot. Father, these are the things we want, and we thank you because you have provided. Like Joko, he will go out, he will come back, and he will give me all the money. I will enter the bus and go to Tejuosho, and I will buy all those things, all the way it was stipulated. And I was in awe. I kept on wondering this thing. And by the time that one was finishing again, and I would tell him, when they say, write it again. I was in awe. So, it kept on happening. It just kept on happening. And that was when I began to know that the Word of God works. The Word of God works, because God watches over His Word to perform it. He honors His Word above His name. He said, forever His Word is settled in heaven. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but this Word will never pass away. No Word of God will return to Him void. That's what He promised, because He's not a man that He should lie. Amen? I have experienced the Word of God so much so that it is too late for Him to confuse me otherwise. It is way too late for Him. The Word of God works. If you will choose to walk it. If we are patient with doctors and we take time and take our medication week after week, and we are patiently waiting that it will work, patiently wait for God. His Word will always produce, because His Word will never return unto Him void. Amen? The Bible said that Jesus is the head of all things. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he may have the preeminence. In all things he may, what is the preeminence? He may have the superiority. He has to be the number one. Number one over your life. Number one over your business. Number one over your schooling. Number one over sickness. Number one over sin. Number one over poverty, because they are all under his feet. And remember, you're sitting together with him. So if Jesus Christ, like the Bible said in this Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, that he is the head of the body. And the Bible said in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 and 10, the Bible said that it pleased the Father to dwell in him. And the Bible said that in him, verse 10, that we are complete in him. You understand what it means that you're complete? Everything that you need, they're all complete in Jesus, and you have him in you. So there's nowhere you throw a child of God that he will not succeed. Nowhere. Because you are a carrier of dynamo power. You are a carrier of God. You are a carrier of what makes God God. You are a carrier of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in you. If you need wisdom, you look in his supply. There is nowhere that you throw a child of God that is at a disadvantage. The word of God works. If Jesus defeated the devil, defeated sin, sickness, poverty, and we are members of his body, if he triumphed over the devil and all his nyama nyama and won the victory and is over here, where do you think the church of God is? We are here, right here, with him. In this place of glory and favor and dominion. The dominion that we lost in Adam, Jesus restored it back to us. So we should live in dominion over whatever it is that challenges what the word of God said we have and who God says we are. We are called to live in victory to showcase Jesus. And that's why the Bible said we are the trophies of Christ's victory. God is the one causing us to do what? To always triumph in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 and 15. That's what the Bible said concerning you and I. So you don't have to chicken out. You don't have to buckle out. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give in. I have one, there's a picture somebody sent to me. I don't know if they can show it on the screen for me. You know, I saw this bed that it was trying to swallow up somebody. Can we have it on the screen, please? Can you see that? Okay, look at that. I was looking at that, see? It looks like that black thing is about to be choked by this big bed, isn't it? Can you see that picture? It looks like it's going to swallow it up. It's going to mess it up. He said that don't ever do what? Give up. But where is that black bed holding that big bed? You hold the devil by the word of God and by the blood of Jesus. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You don't give in. Who do you think is at a disadvantage? The devil is at a disadvantage because Jesus Christ has disarmed him. But you have to know that you have the power in the name of Jesus. You have the word of God. You have the blood of Jesus. That's why the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. David said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. What are you saying, child of God? What you say matters a lot. The Bible said, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And there is a death and life. That's the Bible, the way it started. And they that love it. Things are always speaking to you. Whether it is sickness speaking to you, whether it is poverty speaking to you, whether it is failure speaking to you. But you must open up your mouth to say what God said about you. The Bible said, as you begin to acknowledge the thing that God did for you, your faith becomes effective. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. You must say what the word said about you. Don't ever give up in this life, because you're not designed for failure. Don't ever give up. No matter what it is, victory is what? Yours. Because of who? Jesus. Hallelujah. So you see, the big one has a disadvantage. You come against that. The Bible said that where the works of a king is, there is what? an authority. Who is it that speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded and authorized it? But you've been authorized. You have been commanded because you have the Father, you have Jesus, and he said, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Don't ever keep your mouth shut over anything that is challenging you. Open your mouth and face that thing with what the word said about you. Say to that thing like Jesus did, it is written. It comes this way, say, it is written. Don't keep your mouth shut. You don't defeat a thought by keeping quiet, but you say what the word said. And God is the one that will confirm his word through signs and wonders. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it said, little children, believers, dear ones, that's amplified, you are of God and you belong to him and have already done what? Overcome them. And so the reason you have overcome them is because greater is the one that is in you than whoever you think, that whatever it is that is challenging your life. Isaiah 54 verse 15 says, behold, they may gather together and stir up strife, but it's not coming from me, oh. It's not from your Father. It's not from Jesus. But he said, whoever stirs up strife against you shall fall and surrender for you. And verse 17, I want us to read verse 17 together. Isaiah 54 verse 17. Ready, go. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall sure to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the promise of the Father. He's not the one sending anything, but whatever comes, see the end from the beginning, that already victory is yours. That thing will surely fall because he guarantees it. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. Whoever is born of God, whoever is consistently and persistently believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's read it together. Verse 4. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies in that fact? So long as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, I'm seated with him, a place of victory, a place of honor, a place of triumph, whatever it is. The moment you have that understanding, that revelation, whatever comes, it's a matter of time. It will just do what? It's a matter of time. That thing, it will pass. Because Jesus Christ guarantees the victory. All the believer has to do is just to simply keep on believing who you are and who God said you are and who Jesus Christ is. Colossians chapter 1, 12 and 12 to 14 says, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. It is the Father that has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people, who live in the light. Who is the light? Jesus Christ. You are living in Christ. Your life is in Christ. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So you are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. Anything that portrays darkness, resisting vehemently with every venom in you. God has given you the ability to hate evil. You hate evil, but you love righteousness. Amen? I don't forget when my husband had this revelation when we were back there in Nigeria. The devil challenged my children with health. My son, Kenechukwu, and my son, Onyechukwu. The same night, we went for a Bible study, and we came back in the night. I think somewhere around 1 a.m. or so. You know, this one was, we will convulse, and then we pray. His temperature was so high, and at that time, they barricaded all the roads with a lot of gates and so on. It was difficult for us to even go to the hospital. At a point, this boy has convulsed about 3 times. My husband said, bring him here. And he said, Onyechukwu was, we didn't know what happened to him. He was breathless, you know. You know, the same lady that I gave her, when I shared something some time ago, I said was in the house, she just visited us. We didn't know what was happening. My husband said, bring him. So I brought Onyechukwu. I brought Kenechukwu. My husband said, hey, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I come against you. I command you right now, take your hands off my children out in Jesus' name. That was what he did. While he was doing that, I was saying, Father, I worship you. I didn't want to look. I said, Father, I give you prayer. I just backed him and he was doing it, but at least I was hearing him. When he finished that prayer, this one started breathing normally. And then the thing that was doing Kenechukwu like this, it just stopped. So we all went to bed. He stayed in the living room and he just kept praying. But I took these children in. And then when it was about 6:37, we now took these children to the hospital to loot. And all the doctors examined whatever. These about 7 to 13 x-rays on Kenechukwu. They didn't see anything wrong. They said nothing was wrong with these children. Just take them home. So we just went back home. Why? He knew his authority. He took that authority and the devil left. I thank God I know what I know today. I was really so much a novice at the time, but thank God my husband was quick at picking. The moment he, because he thought he was chewing this Bible, oh my goodness, he was chewing this Bible. So we need our eyes of understanding to be illuminated. And that's why Peter said, the last word of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 to 18, he said, you already know these things, dear friends. So be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. You have a secure footing in Christ. Don't let anything make you lose that secure footing. And in verse 18, it says, rather, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You must grow. Amen. It says, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where was I reading? I was reading so verse 18. So what we need is to grow in our revelation and understanding of who Jesus is and who we are in him. And that's why the Bible said, let the message of Christ, about Christ, fill our lives. Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thanksgiving. Amen? So I wanted to show this. This is what God wants us to say. Let the message of Christ. If Christ is your life, let his message. If this your life is so dry, and the word of God is the water of life, let the message of Christ do what? Fill what? Your life. Christ is the wisdom of God in all its wisdom and prudence. Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. Christ is your life. Christ in all, your all in all. So when anything shows up and it's squeezing you, what comes out? The life of Christ. The word of God will answer for you. The word of God will do what? Answer for you. But it is whose responsibility to let the message battlefield his or her life, your responsibility. And that's why you come for Bible study, you go for house fellowship, you come on Sundays, you come for Sunday school. The more you listen, the more your life is soaked with the life of Christ, and the more the life of Christ radiates through your life. As you keep on beholding, as in a mirror, you're being transformed into his very own image. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, from one level of glory to another level of glory. Shall we all rise?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.